Well, it was December of 2019, and I invited Darlene Lyne to come in October of that year. And that Monday night before Darlene came, we had a situation here. We opened our church up to the young Republicans, and they had a speaker that created a lot of attention, as you might remember. And I called Darlene in the midst of the storm. We were going to be protested the Sunday she was going to be here. As I looked out, there were about 100 people right across the street right there. And I told Darlene, hey, you don't have to come if you don't want to. I just want to tell you, you know, we're under this situation. We're going to be protested. And you know what she said? She says, yeah, I'm coming. Now, you got to know a little bit about her. She was in the FBI. She was also a first responder, I think, to the 9/11. She was there. And she says, yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm coming. And not only that, but she came, she spoke, she did the Saturday morning thing with the ladies like we did this year, and then she spoke, and then she said, let's go over and talk to Rabbi Karp right across the street. And she went with me and my wife, and we walked right into that crowd, and she was willing to pray with Rabbi Karp. So that's the kind of speaker that we have this morning. If you haven't met Darlene Lyne yet, she's with Chosen People Ministries. Let's give her a warm welcome as she comes today.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Pastor Ed. Yes, it's a blessing to be here again. I'm very excited. And for those of you that, well, with a show of hands, how many people know about Chosen People Ministries? Okay. All right. In a nutshell, the Lord has called us. I have a Jewish background. I'm a believer, so we're called Messianic believers. And we really stand strong on what Paul says, the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and then to the Greek or the Gentile. Some people don't fully understand that. And a lot of churches, believe it or not, leave off that part. They'll get to all who believe and it stops short. And we know that God's not a respecter of persons. He loves everyone. He created all of us. That's why, for God so loved, he sent Yeshua, Jesus, so that Jews and Gentiles, through his precious blood sacrifice on the cross, could be reconciled with the Father. No more slaves to sin, and we'll see that later today for those who will join us at the Passover Seder. And it's about the unity that God had in agreement for us to worship the Lord as one. And so we're called to bring the gospel to the Jewish people. Now, how many people know and believe that the Jewish people need Jesus? We all need Jesus. We all humanity needs Jesus. And so thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Thank you for praying for the innocents on both sides. And but you know what? We always have to stay focused on the kingdom, loving everyone, even as Jesus said, loving enemies. And that's tough. And I believe we cannot do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so I just want to thank Pastor Ed and this congregation, this church, for your faithful support of me, because I get countless divine appointments and many opportunities to share Jesus with Jewish people, but not only Jewish people, Gentiles as well. Because it's all about expanding the kingdom of God for his glory. It's not about us. And Jesus said, you know, and God says, you know, in his word, be ready, for no one knows the time or the hour when I'm coming back. So don't you think we should get excited? Because there's so many out there that have fallen away, the apostasy, so much watered down doctrine out there, you know, watered down Bible, because it's not the true and errant word of God that's being preached and taught anymore. We need to go forth, make disciples, love one another, Wait on the Lord. Let him order our steps. And it's amazing when you're walking in that, it's not necessarily going to always be easy. People might even reject you, but keep looking back at they rejected the Lord also. We never know where we are in another's journey. So don't worry. Oh my gosh, that I feel like my words just fell upon deaf ears. Maybe they did, maybe they don't. But when you're speaking the word of the Lord, it's from your heart, and they see that on authenticity, the word of the Lord does not return void. So just keep praying for them, because it's not about us. So I want to thank you all for that. I want to thank all the ladies that put together a beautiful event yesterday where we could share and grow together. I want to thank you for putting together the rest of the things that we have today. I want to thank Dennis and Kerry for hosting me and feeding me really well. I'm going to have to work out on the treadmill. And so for chosen people, it's really, bottom line, it's saying to everybody, the Lord is saying, hey guys, don't forget about the Jewish people when you're sharing the good news, because amazing good news we have. And there's a brochure in the back for those when you're leaving, if you want to take it. It looks like this on the back tables, and it'll give you more information. And I'm here all day, so you can talk to me. So, Lord God, we just thank you for today. We thank you that we come into your presence. Lord, we love you, and we're excited what you have for us today. Lord, so have your way, and Lord, bless us with your word that you have upon us, Lord. May we have eyes to see and ears to hear. And we ask, Lord, in your precious name, in Jesus, our Messiah, our Lord, and our King. So, happy birthday, church. Okay? Aren't we excited when it's your birthday? Happy birthday, church. Okay? Happy birthday, church. Glory to God. You know, he's faithful to his promises. And I love the way the Lord moved on you for the songs today, because as I was singing, yes, who shakes the earth with holy thunder, right? Who parts the waters? Who stands in the midst of the fire, right? I mean, all these things, like only our one true God, the maker of heaven and earth. Praise God. So this is Pentecost, okay? And because of Western and Christianity, we follow the solar calendar. But it's really aligned with the Jewish feast of Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, okay? And they follow the lunar calendar. So this year, we're not so aligned in the holidays. But that doesn't change the meaning, okay? And I want to just align a couple of things. So Shavuot, as I said, means weeks. And so in Leviticus 23, we have the seven feasts of the Bible. And so this is also a very important week. It's also with a counting, all right, 50 days. Some of the holidays that it changes. But this we know, it's 50 days counting. And so it has a true calendar date. So it has an agricultural theme, because I think it's very important that we're going to read scripture today, and then it's very important to align and explain the cultural context of what was going on when Jesus was here, okay, in first century, but what was going on before? What did they think? What were they taught? What did they believe? Okay, just so it puts it in the right framework when we're going to, because we are going to read a little bit of Acts 2. Happy birthday, church. And how does that relate, you know? So, okay, Pentecost. It had an agricultural theme, and it was the giving of the law or the Torah to Moses on Mount Sinai. And I asked for our friends back there, my brothers, could you please put, we're going to read together, Exodus chapter 19, verse 16. We're just going to take little portions. I encourage you later today to read Exodus 19 and go home, and also this week read Acts chapter 2. But I'm going to just take a little pericope, a little portion. So if you could put Exodus chapter 19, verse 16. Is it coming up? All right. Well, guess what? I'm going to read it then. All right. We're going to do... That's okay. I'm sorry. Hold on one second. All right. 19. Good thing I have my glasses on. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Whoa. So that all the people in the camp trembled. Now, how many believe that the Bible is the inerrant word of God? Amen? All right. Doesn't matter about translation. It's about what God is saying, okay? So maybe we'll have a little thesaurus stuff here and there, but the point is the same. So this is saying, and so these are the people, right? And the people, Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and there they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now the Mount Sinai was wrapped with smoke because the Lord had descended in fire. Whoa, the smoke, it went up, and the whole mountain trembled. The word of God is telling us what these people saw. These are actual, okay, so some people will say these are natural events. Okay, you know, we have thunder today, yes, we do. But this is a way that it was described of God and his presence before Moses, as he's going to give him the Torah, the law, the commandments, right? And so people would say, oh, okay, well, all the people experienced the thunder. They experienced the lightning. They experienced the sound of the shofar. Now, I don't know about you, but I like, always when you're doing studies, to go forward, if you're in the New Testament, you got to go backwards so you can get really good context and meat. As soon as I heard that with the trumpet, I was thinking 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Whoa, and the Lord will appear in the clouds and he's going to, you know, come and that, what's going to sound? The trumpet, you know, so I'm like, okay, so let's pay attention. They get the word. And now, there is an understanding in Judaism that the giving of Torah at Mount Sinai came with flames and with fire. Well, it says it here, okay? It says it here. So we understand that too. And so, and when we see, and we're going to read now Acts 2, I want to just point something. So can we read Acts 2 very quickly? Because then I'm going to show you. Do we have that? Acts 2, 1, 2. All right. Oh, we do have it. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Then suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rush of wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And they divided tongues as fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, when the Lord said, I will never leave you and forsake you, and he's been saying it in the Torah and all the way through, because Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, to make it complete. Now, he promised, I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Paracletus, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And now that day came. They were up there in the upper room. They were praying in one accord. They knew that he was the risen Lord. And it came. And now we're going to see. And they began to speak in other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there was a dwelling in Jerusalem, and the Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude, at this sound. So is it similar to what we just read at Mount Sinai? So it's a real sound. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered. If it was just occurring in the house in the upper room, they wouldn't be bewildered. And it's already telling us who it is. The devout men, right? And each one of them hearing them speak in their own language. And they were amazed and astonished. And they couldn't believe it was coming from these Galileans. And how is it that we hear each of them in our native language? And then they go through the different ones. And both Jews and proselytes and all the different ones, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. This is now the marching orders of going forth to advance the kingdom of God, because we cannot do it on our own strength, but we can do it as we pray, we trust in the Lord, and we have the indwelt Holy Spirit who convicts us, who strengthens us, and who guides us, right? Do we believe that? So this is what happened on the birthday, happy birthday, church, right? Okay, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But then there were some that were mocking. Now, they were all good Jewish people at this point. You had the devout and the super religious that we said, you know, were even some were hypocrites, but they did know Torah, some of the Torah, right? And they were teaching that. It was the ways that they were teaching it and their rules that was, you know, bothering people. So they did know that. And all of them, they were good Jewish boys and good Jewish girls, and going to temple. They knew about the sacrificial system. They partook in all of these things, Shavuot also being a pilgrimage, so it was a required feast, right? And so they're there. So the rabbis start to, you know, we read commentaries. We have church fathers. Don't we study what the church fathers, the Reformation church fathers? Well, the rabbis also have rabbis that try to explain what things meant, okay? Because most people didn't read then, so they needed people to explain. So am I going to say that these things are correct? No, not necessarily, you know? We always stick with the Word of God, but what it will do is give you the context from where they're thinking. The people in general, the men, the women of Israel, right, and Jerusalem. So, they wrote these commentaries called the Midrash, okay? And so they would have, they would write something such as, and the word went out of the mouth of the Holy One. Blessed is he. That's very Jewish writing from way back. And in a lot of their prayers, they still say that. It was shooting like stars and lightning and flames and torches of fire, a torch of fire to the right, torch of flames to the left. So when they're looking at this kind of thing and people are now listening and studying, like when we have Bible studies, you know, they are understanding, okay, they saw what was visible, they heard what was audible, and they're trying to pass it down to generation what the Word of God said when Moses is getting the Word of God, because it's demonstrating the awesomeness of God and the power of God, right? Again, only things that God could do. And so, and they saw it. And so they saw and heard which was visible, that fiery word coming out of the heavens. And then you put it together with Psalm 29:7. But how many thunderings were there and how many lightnings were there? Now, this is the scripture. And then they heard it for each man. So the voice of the Lord was heard according to the power. And then Psalm 29:4, what does it tell us? Not with his power, not with his power, but with his power, with the power that he puts in a person, individual, to go forth. He chose Moses to be the leader, and then now it doesn't limited, the Holy Spirit is not limited to just this person, that person, King David or whatever. Now, to the faithful, all who believe in Yeshua, it's going forth. And so, why did they, you know, they say this? Okay, we're going to fast forward and come into this because I think it's, once again, you know, when the rabbis taught that the Torah was given at Mount Sinai, the thundering, the flames, these were real events, okay? They're not just, and it was, thundering was always seen as God's voice. Okay, so now you're taught from very little. Thunder, God's voice. Now, I mean, if you're taught that, so this is now, this happens and with Moses, and then it's going forth all the way, and you're coming up to now the disciples, and Jesus is gone now, he's ascended, and they have this in their head. They're taught that the thunder is, you know, God's voice. And so when we'll, each person is able to perceive that, right? So when we're looking at rabbis taught that a single voice was emitted from God and what was heard was seven into 70 languages. Why? Because in that time, there were 70 nations. And the voice of God at, from Mount Sinai was going out 70 nations. In other words, God's word was going to be to all those that hear. So once again, these rabbis, whether they are right or not in their interpretation, is debatable. But what is important is that the people in Jesus' time believed this. They believed when they saw a thing like that, the thundering. That's the voice of God. Now, and they knew how to sort of separate it from just the climate weather. Okay, they just knew when things would be put together. Okay, but this is their feeling. And this was the standard thought in the Second Temple in Judaism. And so when Luke is writing Acts, he knows this. He knows what he learned. He knows what Peter, James, and the disciples learned and believed, okay? He knows what the people believed. He's writing it in a context that he's bridging Exodus, the God, the one true God, the Shema, you know, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, to connecting with Jesus and the promise of the Holy Spirit, okay? And so Luke is portraying the coming of the Holy Spirit on Shavuot, on Pentecost, as essentially the second coming of the Torah at Mount Sinai. Jesus is coming twice, right? He came one as the Lamb of God, second time, Lion of Judah, praise God. For Luke, this awe-inspiring event, this moving event, right, was happening visibly. There was noise. People were reacting to it on the Holy Spirit, complete with the flames and the fires, and many languages. And they were stunned. The Bible says astonished that these Galileans could speak in their languages. Second Mount Sinai, it was happening this time in Jerusalem. And so Jeremiah 34, okay, the rabbis also taught. And this is now when, you know, Luke is explaining this. He's accepting what's happening in context that is based on some Jewish traditions that they all can relate to. And they have come, and then they have further the fulfillment of what they're seeing as biblical prophecy. Jeremiah 31 verses 30 to 32. Here the days are coming, says Adonai, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, and it will not be like a covenant I made with their fathers. On this day I took them by their hands and I brought them out of the land of Egypt. It's always reminding them of the great and mighty works that only God could do, the one true God, right? Took them out of Egypt. Because for their part, they violated my covenant, and even though I, for my part, was a husband to them, says Adonai. For to this covenant I will make with the house of Israel, and for those days, says the Lord, and I will put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. We're not getting tablets anymore. Second thing, right? And Isaiah says, in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah said, a time will come when the Torah will go forth. That's the word, the Torah. This is the word of God. Will go forth from Zion, God's word from Jerusalem. And in this context, and it'll come to all the corners of the world and humanity. It's not going to come from Mount Sinai. It's going to come from Jerusalem. And where were the disciples when the Holy Spirit came? They were on Mount Zion area in Jerusalem. And how did it come? Flames and fire and noise like a rushing mighty wind with languages from every nation. Just like the rabbis, they didn't have it too wrong on this one. Okay? It was no coincidence that the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, as promised by the Lord God, because he's faithful and he's true, came on Pentecost, on Shavuot. It's not an accident. It's not a coincidence. He came in the manner he did, using the same signs and the same miracles that the Jewish sages were even talking about. The thunder, the rushing mighty wind, the trumpet sound, right? And we see that later in Scripture. And so even though the observers, it says they were amazed, but they were also, some were terrified too, some were perplexed, but everything happened within the framework of the Jewish cultural thought in this particular instance, okay? And God will never bow down to anything that man says. So I'm going to make that very clear. But in this instance, it aligned pretty well with their teaching. Not all teaching, just like our commentators and our church fathers. You know, we disagree with a lot of that. We have to always come back to the Bible, study it, see what God's word says, and then try to put it together and go forward. Go backwards to go forward. And one of the things that God shows us in his holy scriptures, thank you, Jesus, in both testaments and in our personal experiences with him, is that he communicates with each and every one of us, right? And he deals with each and every one of us, thank God, in ways that we can personally understand and take meaning from. We have a personal, this is what we want to teach people when we go out, and we want to say, you know, to someone who is fallen away and never was rooted in the word of God or had a relationship with God, or a Jewish person who, don't assume just because they read the Torah and recite Siddur prayers that they know God. That's not true. It's just like a Christian reciting the Our Father. You know, they might have gotten confirmation. It's still a big difference from this, to the heart, you know, that you got to get that in a unity that only the Spirit of the Most High God, the living God, can do. And so when you're going out there and you're talking to people and you want to share about your relationship with God, well, the most important thing that we have to do, because evangelism is extremely important, is we've got to be willing, when you're going to make disciples, it's not just like leave them in abeyance. Be willing to have a relationship with them. Jesus did with his disciples for 3 years. He walked with them. He talked with them. They were with the living God. And look at all the mistakes they made. How much more we do? Because we all need repentance constantly. But when you're making a friend and you're trying to share, you know, Jesus loves you, God loves you, and this, they have to see it in your fruit, in the fruit of your actions. You know, it's like, you're not saved. You were saved by grace. But you know what? It's an action word. You have to go out. You just don't do it in your seats. You have to go out and say, you know what? Souls are important to God. And if you pray to the Lord, help me to see you, others as you see them. Lord, give me divine appointments. I'm telling you, you will be so busy with people coming in your life to pray for, to go have coffee with some people, and be willing to listen. Let them talk first. Unless you have the unction of the Holy Spirit that's shaking you, and you'll know the difference, that says you really have to kind of give them this hellfire and brimstone thing. If that, then listen to the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, if God is just leading you, listen to them, nurture them. Jesus was gentle too. Yes, he had his moments when he was angry with religious leaders, but he had so much compassion. And I spoke about it yesterday briefly. Compassion comes from God. And we need to see that, because people need to see, because they watch us. And they watch us as we go through stuff. Just because we're believers doesn't mean that we're exempt from hard times. We go through loss. We go through financial issues. We go through sickness. We go through people in our families who are not saved. We go through a lot of heartache, but for God, right? And we need him. We need him just as much as everybody else does. But we lean on him, and we don't lean on our own understanding. And so when people see that, oh my gosh, you just lost somebody that you love, your parents or whatever, and it's devastating, but your faith is holding you together, even though you feel very unglued. I've gone through it the last couple of years, so I know, but I just knew that even when I felt like I couldn't pray because I was feeling so broken, I knew people were praying for me. I knew people were praying for me. Sometimes people would text me, the Lord woke me up at 3 o'clock to pray for you. Are you okay? You know, hasn't that happened to you guys? Isn't that amazing when, you know, it could be somebody that you're not even in touch with every day. It's maybe not even someone who knows what's, you know, might be a former work colleague, a school colleague, but they're saved. And all of a sudden, God is going to put you in their heart. And we want him to put others in our hearts to do the same thing. Because, Lord, I don't mind losing sleep to pray and intercede for someone. Because I know you're doing that for me. And I need prayer. And you guys need prayer. And we all need prayer. Because that's what makes us a strong body through thick and thin, through our Lord and Savior. And so when we come to this beautiful time, and God is showing this thing, the knowledge that was given, and every Jewish child grew up knowing it, like I said, from the Exodus story, right? So when those signs and miracles that supposedly happened on Mount Sinai also, you know, had happened on the first Shavuot, the first Pentecost, as we say, after Jesus, Yeshua, ascended, then those eyes, they had eyes to see, they had ears to hear, wow, and they understood some. The scripture came alive for them, Jeremiah, what we read in 31, and also Isaiah's. They came, it was a fulfillment in that moment for those who had eyes to hear eyes to see and ears to hear. And that isn't that what we're instructed to have? You know, eyes to see and ears to hear. So for these Jews who were faithful in the word of God, and the book of Jeremiah was kind of a very strong book in those days for them, okay? So that's why they had the hope of Messiah. They knew, you know, he was promising. So the faithful who really stayed strong and faithful, they knew exactly what Luke wrote in Acts 2. They knew it was the hand of God. And they knew it was the second coming of Torah. And it was the Holy Spirit that brought it out, and it indwelt spirit, right? And no longer on the stuff, but only the Jewish believers at the time in Messiah, and maybe not even all of them, really got this. Does that make sense? Just like when we say something, and we know God's word will not return void, but people are like, So now you understand that, you know, when we're explaining this in churches or to people, or you're with Jewish people, if you want Jewish ministry, you have to understand some of the Jewish context for them if you meet a Jewish person, so that you can bridge what we call the Old Testament. I refer to it as like a first covenant to the Brit Kadoshah, the New Testament, because Genesis to Revelation is one big book of God's love, his mercy, his grace, his redeeming favor on us. You know, there's no pauses. It's so we could understand. And I mentioned it, and I say it over and over. You would not understand Jesus' work on the cross and the shedding of blood if God himself did not say, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Life is in the blood, the sacrificial system, the pure, spotless lamb, right? We wouldn't understand, well, why is he on the cross? How is he God? How is he the Lamb of God that John says in 1:21? If we didn't understand that, we wouldn't understand that Yeshua Jesus is the high priest if there wasn't a Levitical Cohen system. What's a high priest? But you read about the corruption of man and Caiaphas and then Jesus, right? So I really encourage you to just, you know, go back and study, because it just brings a richer understanding. You know, nobody's got it all. Nobody can. But when you come to these holidays, the feasts, and the one that we will do, like the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is, that's, you know what? That's the game changer with the Jesus' work on the cross when he says it is finished. When you know what was happening and what people were believing and what they think and what they saw, then you have a better way for yourself to understand Jesus' work on the cross, his shed blood, reconciling us with the Father, because sin set us apart. And sin always sets us apart. And only through the blood of Jesus can we be saved. There is no dual covenants. There is no nothing. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, Jew or Gentile, no one, no human being can come to the Father except through me. Amen. Blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the game changer, and that's what reconciled us. And don't listen to anything else that tries to change that, because that's where, you know, that's where the buck starts, that's where it stops, and it, you know. And so I know that I'm with a group that we're all on the same page, right? So praise God for that. And so the Holy Spirit. So, you know, this is just such a beautiful way and a teaching of how God takes the time with stiff-necked people, the Jews, us, Gentiles, everyone, to do his beautiful work to save us, free gift, and all he asks is that we obey, that we trust, that we come to him. Seems like that's a hard thing, and repent. Because my brothers and sisters, if you don't repent, you will not have renewal. It doesn't work any other way. You have to come to the Lord with a contrite heart. And we'll talk more about that this morning when we go through. I'm excited to do, because this ties in and everything with the Seder. So I hope that you guys will come and join us for a beautiful moment with the Seder. And I want you to say, well, happy birthday, church. Happy birthday, Word of God. Happy everything. Thank you, Lord, because it's more than just a happy birthday. It's the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. And so at this time, if I have a few minutes, if does anybody have any questions about the ministry? I just want to thank the Lord for the way that he so beautifully puts together everything. He just weaves it, and you know, and then it's like, then we come here, and you know, no, we didn't walk with Jesus. But you know, our faith, we get our faith, and the more we build our faith, the more we help each other build our faith, what an army of God we're going to be. And I'm telling you, it's not going to be easy times ahead. So nobody knows when Jesus is coming back, but we know that there's going to be some rough waters, but who's going to part the sea for us? We know that there are going to be some not so good times, but you know what? He's going to stand in the midst, because he said, I won't leave you or forsake you. Doesn't mean that everything's going to be great, but in him, it's going to be even more greater, because that's the God we serve. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time. Lord, I just thank you for these people. Lord, I thank you for sending the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. I thank you, Lord, that your word is so faithful and true, Lord, that everything aligns, Lord, with your love, your grace, your mercy. We raise our hands and we pray, Lord, God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.